Okay, so we're at the bottom of Mem Beis, Mem Beis, the last two lines there, with the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah was telling us again the list of different types of foods or items that may contain some chametz in it. And then after listing four things that came from different countries and then three things that were different part of different trades, Rabbi Eliezer came along and said, Af tachshit enoshim, he included even the jewelry that women wore to wear. So the Gemara asks now, does anyone really think that women's jewelry is chametz and has to get burnt or get rid of an Erev Pesach? Says Rashi, the very last line, tachshit enoshim hu chal v'sarak u'besamim. Chal is something that eyeshadow, I'm not sure exactly what sarak is. U'besamim, types of perfume, shetolos b'tzavarim l'hariach, they'd hang these types of spices around their neck. U'may chametz, in all those cases listed, there's no chametz. So why is... Celery? No, it's some type of makeup. Unless celery is used for makeup. But so these things have no content of no chametz in it, so why do you have to get rid of them? So the Gemara says, really Ela Aima af tipule nashim, the word should be. What does tipule nashim mean? The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Benos Yisrael, Shehigiu, the Parkon, Velo Higiu Lishanim. So if women of the reached a certain point of maturity, but they didn't reach a certain age of years. Rashi explains the Tab Rashi, Shehigila Parkin, Lo Gila Shanim, Sheishlem Saros Higila Parkin. They start getting hair in the body as if they were much older than they were. Behain Lo Higila Klaus Shanim, but they were in the age where you start seeing the hair. Uboshis Al Kach, and they got very embarrassed. So they would use this Tipul Nashim to remove the hairs. So Benos, the Gemara says further now, Benos Anim, the daughters of the poorer families, Tophilos Osam Besid, they would use some type of sid, which was some type of plaster, which they place on the skin and then they remove it to remove the hair. Benos Ashirim, the daughters of the wealthy families, Tophilos Osam Besolos, they would use solos, which was this clean type of flour that we've been talking about. That's chametz. And Benos Melachim, the royalty, would use B'shemen Hamor, Shinamar, Shisha Chadoshim B'shemen Hamor, the Pasuk in Esther. They would use some type of oil which would help remove it and the skin, the hair, and also make the skin look very nice. So we see here that it wasn't mean Tachshit Nashim, it really means Tipulin Nashim in the Mishnah, which refers to the Tipulin Nashim that the Benos Ashim would use to remove the Sear. So now the Gemara asks, "My Shemen Hamor, what does Shemen Hamor mean in the pasuk in Esther? They use a special type of oil for the skins." So Rav Huna Bar Yirmiya Omer Sateches, and Rashi says Lois Parish. He doesn't really know what that means. And Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar Shemen Zayis Shelo Vishlish. It was olive oil that didn't reach a third of its growth where it should reach, and but that apparently that type of oil was very good for the skin. So my focus was.
What do they mean by extra virgin olive oil?
Extra what?
Like virgin olive oil. I never understood what that means.
You know better than I. You're the food guy.
No, yeah. I've seen statistics and like research that means nothing. I'm curious if this is what the olive oil is.
I have no idea. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, an piknin. This is a word, shemen zayish shelo vishlish. That was, they referred to this olive oil which was underdeveloped. They would call this anpiknin. That's what Shemen Hamor refers to, according to one opinion. But Lama Sachano, so why would they smear it and rub it on the skin? Because it removes the hair and it makes the skin look very nice. Okay, so now the Gemara goes further, quotes the next line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Zehaklal. And Gemara quotes it, Zehaklal, kol shu mimin dagan. Anything that has min dagan, anything that has any type of one of the five grains in it, it's a violation of the law involved. So the Gemara says, Tanya, I remember Yeshua says, V'chi me'acher sheshaninu kol shumin dagan, after the Mishnah taught us that anything has dagan in it, I raise it over by Pesach, you violate an Isser on Pesach. Lama manu chacham meseilu? Why did the chacham go ahead and list the examples? Kusach ha-bavli and Zeis of ha-mitzri, all those things, why? Once we know, there's dagan in it, so look in the ingredients and I know what to get rid of. Why does it tell me? This answers the Gemara, Kidei Sheyeh Ragil Bahen. So a person should be familiar with them, Ubishmosem, with them and their names. So I remember when I learned with Rabbi Sabalovsky Basar B'Chalav, So he used to take his kids to the pet store. He was talking about basa v'chalav that you can't get hana from it, even to animals. So he used to go to the pet store when his children would look around at the pets. He would go to look at all the ingredients of all the pet food and see which pet food had basa v'chalav in there. So he'd memorize which were, when people asked him shaylos, he would know which brands which were good and which brands were not good. So you're supposed to be familiar with all the different types of foods and the ingredients to know what's chametz, what's not. It's actually another story there. I won't say the name of the kashrus organization, but there was a certain food that had had a hashgacha on it. And a nephew of mine is allergic to dairy, but they're giving him this food product, and it was getting upset stomach. So the mother looked at the ingredients, and it said there was milk in it, but the hashgacha never said it was dairy or not, it just gave the hashgacha on it. So someone had called the OU, I just was about it, and find out why they left it out. So they said that part of the consumer's responsibility is to check the ingredients as well. We give the hashgacha approval that's kosher. In terms of dairy or not dairy, that's something that one has to look into on their own. Yes, we try to do it. Sometimes there's a mistake, but one has to really always check the ingredients on their own. So as a consumer, one has to always be familiar with the different types of foods.
If they're doing a shkach, they don't know the dairy is in there. It's pretty troubling.
They admitted it was a mistake, but they said the consumer has to do a checkup, a backup, just to always be certain on that. So that again, that's debatable. I'm not sure if I agree with that, but it was a mistake. That's what it comes down to. I don't know if you start blaming it on the consumer though.
There's probably dairy coming though. They do like the runway with dairy to make it smoother.
Not sure the details of that. I don't know.
Well, the kosher supermarkets usually have a sign that you're responding. You know. We try to stock only kosher stuff, but ultimately, you gotta check.
There's a sign?
Right.
I've seen a sign on that.
Uh-huh. Especially Pesach.
Where?
Especially in Pesach. Yeah.
Sure. No, but on Pesach,
I guess we take it for granted that we assume everything's kosher. We don't think anyone's trying to intentionally sell something not kosher, but sometimes mistakes happen, I guess.
Or a lot comes through that wasn't right, and they didn't catch it.
Right, I mean, there's a store in YU, one of these grocery stores across the street from the old YU, the MTA building. So one time he got an order and they accidentally sent him a lot of stuff that had gelatin in it. So what are you supposed to do? It has a hashgacha. As far as I'm relying on this for the most part. So Shach, they said, even though Ashkenazim normally don't rely on it, since it was a big hefted moment for the store owner, he was allowed to sell that without telling them. Because there is a kula to eat the gelatin. That's what the pesach was given. So owning a big store, a big grocery store, these things do happen. So you have to always double check yourself. So especially when you're such a large organization giving a hashgacha, you have to always double check as a consumer. As inconvenient as it is for us, it's very inconvenient. Right, I'm saying, but like we're used to just taking things off the rack and just filling the shopping cart. We don't want to waste the time looking at the ingredients. It takes a lot of time. But if I guess if we took kashrus more seriously, maybe we would. All right, either way. So the Gemara says, so one should be familiar with all the different names. So the Gemara says a story, Ki hada hahu bar marava, there's a person from the marava, from the west, which means Bavel. Ikle the Bavel, I'm from Eretz Yisrael rather, that's the west. Ikle the Bavel, he went to Bavel, have a bisra bahade. He had some meat with him, he had some meat. Amar lahu, kraveli mitachliti. So he said to the people of Bavel, please give me something to eat with it. Rashi explains, mitachilsa is shum lifts on the lafish basapas. Give me something, some type of dip, garlic or something, to dip my bread into. So Shama Dukamri, he heard that they were saying, Krivile Kusach, go bring him some Kusach. Came into Shama Kusach Pirish. Once he heard the word Kusach, Kusach Abali, he knew that had milk in it. Rashi says, Rashi's Kaven should the Shama Shakaru Shmo Kusach. Pirish Shabaki Haya, he knew all the different names, but Yod Shiesham Chalav. He knew there was milk in Kusach, as we said, what was Kusach Abavli? It had some milk in it, it had some chametz in it, that's why it's Aser and Pesach. In this regard, it was a concern because he had meat with him, so he couldn't have the Basar B'chalav together, of course. So there's a. The Kusach, the milk that was found in the Kusach, the Gemara told us, was Mei Chalav. Mei Chalav is the water of Chalav, which I think when you let the milk settle, what comes to the top is what's called the whey. Right? You know, the whey is on top. Exactly. It's very liquidy. It's like a watery substance. That's mechalav. So the Gemara Chulin says mechalav is actually pater in regards to basa v'chalav. Why then is the Gemara here, which talked about kusach?
Mechalav, the top layer?
The top layer, yeah. That's very watery. So that's a pater, basa v'chalav, says the Gemara Chulin. So why here is he concerned with the mechalav to eat with the meat? The kusach had mechalav in it. That's not real dairy. That's permitted. So that Rishon proved from here that although it's potmi deraisa from basa b'chalav, we learn from this very Gemara that there still is an iser derabanan of mei chalav. Others yet say mechalav is even an iser deraisa. This Gemara is talking about there are two types of mechalav. So different stages. I forget. I remember I learned this from Rabbi Sablowski. He said there are different stages. The way you make the first layer, you take off the mechalav and you let it sit a second time. So one of them is the first stage is an iser deraisa. That's the Gemara here. The other Gemara in Chulin is talking about the second stage where it's only an iser derabanan. Right? Maybe pater legamri. I mean,
that's where all the protein is.
In that, really?
So then people like work out. They take like a shake and they put whey protein, which is just that top, the highest amount.
Okay.
That's a problem because whenever you want to make a shake, that you have to be careful because there are ones that are like fakes, which are par, and they have the real ones that are dairy.
Interesting. All right. Never knew that. Stuff. Okay. Got to start working out. Says the Gemara, right? Elu Bazara. Those listed in the Mishnah are all subject to an Azhara on Pesach. Man Tana, who is the author of the Mishnah that tells us the chametz dagan gamur, aide taroves, when there's real chametz that gets mixed in the taroves, that means the kusach habavli had real chametz was mixed together. The four things that were listed as the food items, which is kusach habavli, zeisma mitzri, sheikhar madai, and chametz adomi, those four things are all real chametz in a taroves, and vinuksha be'ein, which is the bad chametz, which is not mixed, but it's in its natural way, which was the other things listed that was used for the glue. That was real chametz, but it was bad chametz. And the other things that are mentioned was the what they used for the dyers and the tefachim, right, the sofrim. So those things, which were not mixed, they were actual chametz, but they went bad, nuksha, they became hard and ra. So who is the author that says those things again? Dagon gamor ali de taroves, v'nuksha be'ein bilav. Who says these things are subject to a lav? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rebbe Meir, he, Detanya Seor Yisraf. So it comes to Seor, which means, Rashi tells, we won't look at the Rashi, Rashi says Seor, it's a machlokas, Rebbe Meir. Actually, let's look at it. Seor, Rashi says, it wasn't entirely made to chametz. Now just keep in mind there are two types of seyers. Usually seyer means it wasn't chametz at all, it was just very sourdough. It was some type of yeast that helped. It was an agent used for rising. The seyer in this context means something that rose partially but not completely. It's different than the normal way it's used. So it wasn't shalonis chametz kol tzarcho. Seyer pligi b'masis. The Mishnah tells us later on there's machlokis, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, the definition of seyer. Rabbi Meir kari seyer es shechsifu panav, where the face of the seyer started turning a little bit white. The zehu tchilas chimitzu. According to Rabbi Meir, that is the beginning of chametz. With Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi says that have a seyer shehischil lisadek kvar sadakim. It started to crack a later stage in the process. So first it turns white, then it begins to crack. So the first stage of when it turns white, only according to Rabbi Meir is that chametz, but it's not chametz yet to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to wait until it begins to crack. That's chametz for Rabbi Yehuda. That being said, so the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Huda Marav. Rabbi Meir, he, Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah. Desanya Seyor Yisraf, when it comes to this chametz, partially chametz Seyor, Yisraf, you're supposed to burn it. V'nosno l'kalbo, and then you give it to the dog. V'ha'ochlo barbam, and anyone who eats it, you get malka. So the Gemara says this doesn't make sense. Hogu fakasha. Amris Seyor Yisraf. First you say you have to burn the Seyor. Alma aser ba'na. Must be you can't get it here. No, that's why you burn it. V'hadar tani. Then it goes on to say, v'nosno lefnei kalbo. You're supposed to place it in front. You can't place it in front of a dog to eat. Alma mutter ba'na. Is it aser ba'na or is it mutter ba'na? Says the Gemara, hachi kamar. Seyor Yisraf, the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Huda, the Rabbi Huda. Seyor, you have to burn. Whatever the definition is, Rabbi Meir's definition is when the chametz starts turning white. According to Rabbi Meir, you have to burn it when it starts turning white. And for Rabbi Yehuda's definition, when it starts to crack, you have to burn it according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's according to both opinions, whatever the definition of Seyor is. However, no snow, lifnei kalbo, placing that line in the rice that says you could give it to your dog, that is the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Rabbi Meir's definition of Seyor to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is mutter. So again, the definition of Seyor to Rabbi Meir is when it starts to whiten. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that's completely not chametz, so he holds that you're allowed to give it to the dogs. So again, Rabbi Meir's definition of Seyor, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's when it's permitted to give to the dogs. V'ha'ochlo barabam, and the one who, when you eat it, you get malchus, also in Rabbi Meir, and that goes according to Rabbi Meir, that if you were to eat this whitened bread only, if it only started to turn white, Rabbi Meir thinks you get malchus. Okay. So it says the Gemara, Shemina Lei, we learn from this, the Rabbi Meir, Nuksha Be'ein Bilav. So this tells us that if Nuksha Be'ein, it starts going bad, because if it didn't rise, it didn't fully turn to chametz, So it's still inedible. It only partially chametz when it only starts to turn white the outside. That's still pretty inedible. Yet we still see the Rebbe Meir says you're chayiv on this. You're chayiv makos. You get a law for this. So once we establish that chametz nuksha is Rebbe Meir, the Gemara could say kol shekein chametz dagan gamor aydei tarobas. Then when there's real full chametz, a real even though it's aydei tarobas, that's a kol shekein you're going to get a law. So we prove from all of this that Rebbe Meir must be the author of our Mishnah, because again, explicitly in this brisa, it says that Rebbe Meir holds chametz nuksha isn't a law. And we learn a kol shekein that chametz dagan aydei tarobas is also going to be a lav. That's all Rabbi Yehuda's answer, who the author of the Mishnah is. But comes along Rav Nachman and Rabbi Elazar. He, Rabbi Elazar, is really the author of the Mishnah. Which Rabbi Elazar? Desani, the Braisa says al chametz dagan gamor, real chametz onish karis. You get karis, that's in the mefurish pasuk. Al eruvah, it's through a mixture bilav. You only get a lav. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So this is chametz dagan aydei tarobas. You get a lav. Come along the Chachamim Omrim, al chametz dagan gamor anish karis, al eruve beloklim. So there's machlokas when it comes, everyone agrees, chametz dagan gamor, you get karis. The machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer Chachamim, is when it's aydei taroves, is there a lav or not? Rabbi Eliezer says there's a lav, Chachamim say there's no lav at all. So once we establish this, the Vishamina lay the Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar chametz dagan gamor, aydei taroves belav, he says you do get a lav aydei taroves. Kol shekein nuksha bein. So then it makes a kol shekein in the other direction, that if it's bad chametz, even though it's bad chametz in its be'en, untouched, not mixed with anything else, you're going to get a lav there also. So Rav Nachman therefore thinks Rabbi Eliezer is the author of our Mishnah. Now it's interesting that the Gemara has two different kavachomers in two different directions. There are svaras to say one is worse, you know, better or worse than the other one. On one hand, chametz is gamor, so it should be worse than chametz nuksha, but yet on the other hand, it's aydei tarobas, it's mixed, while the chametz nuksha is be'en, it's unmixed. So yesh v'yesh in both directions, so that's why you're able to do that. So again, machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, who the author is the author of the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Gemara wants to know why does Rav Nachman not look like Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda doesn't look like Rav Nachman. So says the Gemara as follows: Rav Nachman, my time alone, Rav Yehuda. Why does Rav Nachman say the author is Rabbi Eliezer and he doesn't learn like Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Meir is the author? So Amar Lacha Dilma Ad Kan Lo Kama Rabbi Meir Hasam Elo Nuksha Bein. Rabbi Meir may only say when it comes to the Seor where it's that's Chametz Nuksha, where it's very bad Chametz. Only there does he say there's a lav. Aval Chametz Dagan Gamor Al Yedei Terobes Lo. But maybe when it comes to real Chametz, if it got mixed together, maybe he wouldn't think there's a lav, because a tarobis might be less of a problem than when something's been. And Rav Yehuda, my time alo amak Rav Nachman, why doesn't Rav Yehuda learn the other way? Am lecha, ad kan lo kama Rebbe Elazar hasam, Rebbe Elazar only says over there, el chametz dagan gamor al yedei tarobes. We only know that he says it's a problem of lav when it's a tarobes. About nuksha bein, when it's nuksha, when it's inedible, lo amar, maybe he doesn't say it. So therefore, they have, basically the idea is which is worse. Is the worst gamor, is chametz dagan aydei tarobas worse, or is chametz nuksha worse? The Gemara the Gemara brings a raya, Taina Kavasa to Rabbi Yehuda, to support the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that in fact Rabbi Meir is the author. And it's not actually an interesting raya. It's not bringing a raya that Rabbi Meir is the author, it's actually bringing a raya that Rabbi Eliezer cannot be the author, and therefore we're left with Rabbi Meir. So what does the Braisa say? Quote the Pasuk, Kol machmetes lo sochelu. Pasuk says, any chametz, one person cannot eat any chametz. Lirabos, that comes to include Kusach HaBavli, Sheikhar Madai, Chometz HaDomi, V'Zeisim HaMetzi. Those four things, which are all edible. They are all the chametz dagan aydei tarobes, where there's real chametz inside, it just got mixed. What is left off the list, which is important, the other three things that were chametz nuksha, the three things that were used for the different trades, the sofrim, the tavanim, the tzavanim and the tvachim. Those three things are left off. Those things which are used for these particular trades, which is chametz nuksha, those are left off the list. And it says the Gemara, Yachye onish karis. One may think you're going to get karis for eating these four things, which are chametz aydei taroves. Tamid lomar ki kol ochel chametz v'nichrisa. Pasuk says in regards to karis, it means al chametz dagan gamar onish karis. It says karis only in the context of real chametz. But when it comes to taroves, we are only left with the other pasuk of kol machmetzes, where it doesn't mention karis. We're only left with a lav. Siman shmasla d'amr al eruve bilav. Who is the person that we know says you get a lav aydei taroves? Who do we know explicitly who says that? Rabbi Eliezer. He's the one who says that you get lav aydei taroves. V'ilu nuksha, says the Gemara, be'ein lo kamar, but left off the list are the three things in their Mishnah. The three things are chametz nuksha, that's left off the list. Sounds like Rabbi Elazar would think there is no lav by chametz nuksha, there's only lav by taroves, chametz kamar. So Shema Amino Nuksha Rabbi Elazar Leslev. So once we say Rabbi Elazar thinks Chometz Nuksha is not subject to a lav, we are left with only Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir must be the one who holds that Chometz Nuksha and Chometz Dagon Adei Terobos is a lav, and he's the author of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, Eruva Bilav Minole. How does Rabbi Elazar, what's the source that you get a lav in the Chometz Dagon Adei Terobos? As the Gemara said before, Dichsiv kol machmetz is lo sochel. That's the pas. Kol machmetz is any type of chametz, as long as it's real chametz dagon, even though ayde tarobes, you're going to get a lav. Ihachi, the Gemara says, if that's the case, karis nami lechai, you should also get chiv karis, because there's another pasuk, a different pasuk, ksiv, ki kol ochel machmetz, again the word machmetz, v'nichrasa ha-nichrasa. So in the context of karis, it says kol ochel machmetz. It sounds like any type of chametz, which would seem to include even dagan ayde terobos. You should get karis. The Gemara says, no, this second pasuk, ahumi barley, that's needed for the following brayso, l'chatatanya. Ein li ela shenichmatz k'mei lav. I only know something that became chametz on its own. Machmas davar achem minayin. Something that became chametz from something else, an external agent. How do I know that's going to be chametz as well? Tamalomar kol machmetzes v'nichratza. Anything that became chametz, even though it became chametz from davar acher, from something else, an external source, that's also going to be real chametz and chayv karis, but nothing to do with the terobes. See, hachi, if that's the case, the lav nami l'hachi wat dasa. So now go back to the initial pasuk that kol machmetzes, which taught us about the lav. So that's also a reference to the difference between chametz aydei asmo versus chametz aydei davar acher, and nothing to do with chametz aydei terobes. Says the Gemara, Ela Taima de Rabbi Elazar. The real reason of Rabbi Eliezer is as follows. Mikol. He learns it from the word Mikol. Not from Machmetas, from the word Kol Machmetas, everything, to include even Tyrovis. Hasam Nami Haksiv Kol. Also in the second pasuk, in the context of Karis, it says Kol Ocha Machmetas. It says the word Kol. So Kol there should also come to include that even Tyrovis is going to be Chayiv in Karis. No, Hahu, that Kol in the context of Karis, Mi Baile the Rabbos is Anoshim, comes to include that women are also chayv and chametz and chayv karis. Mara says nashim. Nashim midrav Yehuda amarav. Now we learn that from a different statement. Amarav Yehuda amarav. The chayin tainet Rabbi Yishmael amakra. The pasuk says ish o isha ki yasu mikol chatos ha'adam. A man or woman who violates any chatos. So what does the pasuk mean? Hishva kosev ish lisha. The pasuk equates man to woman l'chol onshin shema Torah, to all punishments in the Torah. So why do they have a special pasuk to include women in chametz? We already know the chayv because it's a general rule that every lav they're chayvin. It's the Gemara says you still need this pasuk of kol machmetz to include women because the sakadai techamina. One would think ho'il the kosev al lo tochal of chametz shivas yamim tochal of matzah. So there's a connection of chametz to matzah. So sheyeshnu kol sheyeshnu b'kum echal matzah. Anybody who has a requirement to eat matzah echal. Anybody who has a mitzvah to eat matzah is also obligated in the iser of eating chametz. The honey nashi, since these women hold the less neo b'kum echal matzah, women are not chayv matzah at this stage in the Gemara at least. The havile mitzvahs asay shesman gram, it's time bound, it's limited, of course, only to Pesach, therefore, since it's time bound, they're potter. So, Amos, through the hekesh, you're going to say, Amos b'al tochel chametz nami l'snayo. Therefore, through the hekesh, they should also be exempt from chametz, because once they're exempt from matzah, through the hekesh, they should also be exempt through chametz. Kamash malam, the potter comes to teach me that kol, that women are also included in chametz. Yeah, they also chayv exactly in the isser chametz. Says the Gemara, there's a lot to talk about, I'll get to in a moment. The hashda, now that we've established this Rabbi Luhu b'bal tocha chametz, once we establish that women are included in the iser chametz, that they can't eat chametz because of the word kol, is Rabbi Nami l'achilas matzah, through this hekish, you can include them, they're also now obligated in eating matzah on Pesach, ki Rabbi Eliezer, damar Rabbi Eliezer, noshim chayavos b'achilas matzah davar Torah, the chi of the riser for women to eat matzah, shenemar lo sochal of chametz v'gomer. Then the pasuk goes on to say that there's an obligation to eat matzah. Kol sheyeshnu b'bal tocha chametz, yeshnu b'achilas matzah. Anybody who's chayiv in the iser eating chametz, mimela they're also chayiv in eating matzah. Hani nashi nami hol v'yeshnu b'bal tocha chametz, yeshnu b'kum achol matzah. Therefore, women who are now invested from the word kol, they are required, they're obligated in the iser of chametz, mimela they're also chayiv in eating the matzah. So there's an inching Rashi in Amr Allah for a second. The last Rashi says l'chol onshim. He says mikan. From here we learn. Shanoshim chayavos al kol lo saseh shabbatorah. They're obligated in every lav of the Torah. Sharei onshim malchus, because they get malchus. So the Prima Gadol makes a great diuk here. It sounds like only lavim that have an ownership of malchus are women obligated to keep. But something like a lav she'ein b'maisa, a lav that has no action with it, the women would not be chayvin because there's no malchus on a lav she'ein b'maisa. So he learns from here that women are only obligated, it doesn't apply across the board to all lavim, only applies to lavim that have onesh. But then he quotes from the Rambam. The Rambam says, I'll read the lashon for you, Kol mitzvahs lo saseh shevetorah echad anoshim ve'echad anoshim chayovim b'chutz mi'bal tashus v'bal takim v'bal yitma konon l'meisim. I think this is also the lashon of the Mishnah Kedushin he quotes from. So any lav, except for the three mentioned, except for Baal Tashkis, except for Baal Takim, and except for Baal Yitma Kohen Lemesim, those three, women are chayv and everything else. Sound like across the board, even a lav shein b'maisa, even a lav that may not have a punishment attached to it, women are chayv to keep. So he thinks it's actually Machokas Rashi to Rambam, where the women are chayv to keep lav shein b'maisa. There's an interesting Ma'arit in Kedushin that says, a lav anitek la'aseh. A lav anitek la'aseh, which is a lav that you could fix through an assay afterwards. Let's say, for example, gzela. I steal something, lo sigzal, but heshiv gzela. I can return the gzela afterwards. I can fix the lav afterwards. So what's the din by that? So the Ma'arit thinks that the lav there and the assay are so connected, since you're able to fix it, the lav is not really viewed as a chet. The pasuk connects them only in terms of a chatam, in terms of a chet ultimately turning to a punishment. He says this too also would be similar. A lav nitek la'aseh would not be subject to the dinim of women being chayv in them because it's not a classic lav, it's not a classic chet. He thinks it's an exception as well. The Urim points out also that we find certain cases that the Gemara seems to ignore this connection of men and women, that hishva kasav ish v'isha in the chol onshim shabbatorah. When it comes to the din of Makal of the email, the Gemara Sanhedrin says that we have a special pasuk to come to include that women are also obligated in that mitzvah. There's an issa for women to curse their parents. So Yerim asks, why do you need a special pasuk? The concept is, Ish v'isha, Hishva pasuk, the Torah connects them. Why do you need a special limud from Makal? So he says, because it's not the derech of women to curse. So since it's not the derech of women to curse, one may think they're pater if they were to curse. Therefore, you need a special pasuk to come to include them. Okay, Tosos here on Amr Beis, and there's a lot to talk about here. Tosos Amr Beis, the top one, without reading the whole thing, you just jump down a few lines where it quotes the Gemara in Sukkah Chafes, the line below that. It's around 8 lines from the top. Yesh Makshim, some have the following question. Lama Noshim Ein Chayavos B'Tzitzis? Why are women potter from Tzitzis? Bishum Dechol Sheyeshim B'Levishas Shanis Yeshim B'Gedilim? So anyone who's chayv in shatnez, and women are chayv in shatnez, they can't wear shatnez, they should also have to be chayv in wearing gedilim. They should be chayv in wearing tzitzis. Why are they potter? That's a question Tosfos answers. There are a number of answers given. One of them is given by that Marim Chalava here. He says as follows. Since it says in the pasuk of tzitzis, it was zechartim, it's called mitzvos, that tzitzis helps you remember all the mitzvahs, so only somebody like a man who's chayv in all the mitzvahs is chayv in tzitzis. But women who are potter in many mitzvahs, they're not. They are not chayiv in tzitzis. So again, even though there's a hekish of shatnez, the tzitzis, the pasuk connects the two of them, so, but tzitzis has something unique, that only someone who's chayiv in all the mitzvahs is chayiv in tzitzis. Women are exempt from that. So then the Tosfos asks in Megillah, why do you need a special pasuk of the hekish of matzah to chametz? The women should be chayiv because apenayu b'osanes, that they were included in the miracle, and the Gemara and Pesachim later on does use that to include them in Dalakosos.
So why Derabanan, isn't it?
Okay. Exactly. So Afein only gives the Mechiv Derabanan. The Pasuk here gives you the Mechiv Deraisa. So that doesn't do enough for us. We want a Mechiv Deraisa. Exactly. That's one answer given. The second answer Tosfos says is because there's a well-known Hekesh of Tesvav connecting Pesach to Sukkot. The Tesvav, they both lie, they fall out on the 15th of the month. So one we might have a havmina that just like women are pater from sukkah, eating the sukkah, through the gzer shava tesvav, maybe they should be pater in matzah as well. So that's why you need a special pasuk to say that women are actually chayv in matzah because the hekesh to chametz. Let's do one more. The Mechinech writes that women are chayv in tzipor yitzias mitzrayim. So the Minchas Chinuch says, I don't understand why they're chayv in tzipor yitzias mitzrayim. Isn't the mitzvah that say shehazman grama? So he says, and if you're going to tell me, because the kol sheyeshim bechametz, sheyeshim bepesah, bematzah, it's only by matzah. We don't have that connection to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So again, why does the Sefer Chinuch think women are chayv in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's a mitzvah asay shehazman grama, it's time-bound, and there's no other reason to think you're chayv. So it explains the Kiyas Yaakov, that the pasuk we say lechem oni, And the Gemara says earlier, lechem she'onu malav dvarim harbe, lechem that you say many things over. And Rashi says one of the things you say over it is Haggadah. So it's a very strong connection of the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of Haggadah. So once women are chayiv in the mitzvah of matzah through this hekish, mimele, they're also chayiv in the mitzvah of Haggadah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's the explanation of the Chinuch. Rabbi Yashiv didn't like that for whatever reason. Rabbi Yashiv tried saying as follows. That since, this is the way I understood it, that since Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're supposed to consider ourselves Ki'ilu Yatz Mitzrayim, as if we're coming out of Mitzrayim right now. And the times of Mitzrayim was before Matan Torah. And the times of Mitzrayim, there's no concept, there's no patur of mitzvahs aseh shazman grama yet. It only existed after the Torah was given. So we're trying to bring ourselves back in history, code the Matan Torah, but there's no patur of mitzvahs aseh shazman grama, women should be chayiv as well. That's why he thinks women are chayiv in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim bizman hazeh. Mishabura explains, that's why we read Halachmanya in a language, what used to be at least, in a language that women understood, because they're also obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. They have to therefore understand what's being spoken about. That's why the Halachmanya is in the language that they used to understand. So one Lechora should nowadays read a language and read in English in a language they would understand. Now the difficulty is, the rest of the Haggadah, if they didn't, apparently didn't know, understand Hebrew, so it only helps for Halachmanya. What about the rest of the Haggadah? So I'm not sure. Either way, the Mishnah Berurah seems to think that women are chayiv, and therefore they should understand what is being read. Okay, back to the Gemara now. Says the Gemara around halfway, a little less than halfway down. My chazus to high kol ribui nashim. Why do they say the word kol? Kol machmetzis is coming to include women. Umafkes eruva, but kol is coming to exclude a taroves. I thought they said kol is coming to include a tarovus, no? Let's see this in a second. Ah, because we're talking about the pasuk kol machmetzes in the context of karis. So, kol ochel machmetzes v'nichrasa, that pasuk. So that pasuk of kol ochel machmetzes, we could have used it either to include women, that women are chayv also in karis, or we could have used it to include tarovus. So why did the Gemara choose to use kol to include women, and mimela excluding, it wasn't an explicit exclusion, but by including women, it didn't allow you them to include a tarovis for karis. Why did the Gemara take that route of including women and not including tarovis? So says the Gemara, again, my chazan is the high kol rubui nashim umafkis eruvo. Ema l'ruba yaruva eruva. Maybe one, it should have been used to include a tarovis and not to include women. Mistavra, it makes more sense the following. Kai ba'ochlin, mar ba'ochlin. The pasuk refers to people eating. Anybody who eats chametz is going to get a karis. So it makes sense to be mar ba'ochlin to include other people who are eating, namely nashim. But to say kai ba'ochlin umar b'nechal, and that doesn't make sense. To say it's referring to anybody who eats chametz gets karis, and we're going to come to include nechom, things that get eaten, come to include chametz adi de tarovis, that doesn't make much sense. It makes more sense to include that the subject that it's talking about. It's talking about, again, ochlin, the people eating it, so it makes more sense to include the people eating it, not what's being eaten. Asks Gemara, Maskev le Rav Nosson, Avua, Rav Huna, Bered Rav Nosson, V'chol heicha de kai ba'ochlin lo barba nechal, is that really true? Whenever it's referring to the subject of discussion is ochlin, the people eating it, it never includes nechalim, it never includes the food being eaten. Is that really true? V'hatani, the Brisa teaches us as follows. Ki chol ochel chelav min ha-behema asher yakriv. Anybody who eats fats, different parts of the fats, special chelav, you get karis for. So ein li ela chelav tamimim. I only know from the pasuk, chelav, this fats that come from a tamim animal, an unblemished animal, sheroi li karev, that's right to be offered as a carbon, because the pasuk says asher yakriv. Chelav bali mumin minayin. How do I know the chelav of a bal mum is going to be included as well? Tamilomar min ha-behema. Pasuk said min ha-behema. So any animal, even if it's a balmum. Chelav chulun minayin. How do I know a chelav even of a chulun animal? I actually got to see the chelav the other day. Someone showed me, he saw a shechting, a real slaughtering. He showed me all these pictures, very graphic pictures. He showed me exactly where the chelav was after you removed the stomach. And you, like, you see like everything else exposed. He showed me the different white lines where the chelav is found. So it's you can't eat it. It's Isser Karis. So we hope they get removed when doing Shechita. So, how do I know Chelav Chulin Minayin? How do I know even the fats of a Chulin animal is included? Tamalomar Ki Kol. So, Ki Kol comes to include. So here, we're referring to The Gemara says, "V'ha'hacha the kai ba'ochlin," referring to people eating it. And then v'kamar b'nechal, then we come to include that the things being eaten. So the pasuk says, anybody who eats chaylev gets an isakaris. And then we're coming to include different foods. How do I know it includes a baal mum? How do I know it includes chulin? So we see it's kai ba'ochlin v'kamar b'nechal. Says the Gemara, "Hasam deleka ochlin mar b'nechal." No, because there we had no choice. When it came to the chaylev, there was no one else to left. Everybody was included in the Isser. There's no one else to come to include. So there's nobody else to include. So we can't find the ochlin, so then we're going to include nechalin. But hacha, here in the context of chametz, dika ochlin, there are ochlin who are able to be included in the pasuk, lo shavik lehu lo ochlin umar ber nechalin. It doesn't make sense to leave out the ochlin, the noshim in this case, and come to include the nechalin, which is the chametz ayidei tarobis. So again, whenever the pasuk is referring to a certain subject, we should always try to include that same type of subject. But if there's no other choice, then you could go to a different subject matter. It says the Gemara, Rabbanan teles lehu eruv, the Rabbanan who don't include Tarovis. Only Rabbi Eliezer holds Aide Tarovis. Remember that Gemara, the Amun Aleph, had a machlokas. Everybody agrees when it comes to real Chametz to get Karis. When it comes to Chametz Aide Tarovis, that was machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer said, you're chayv alav, Chum said, you're completely potter. So according to the Chachamim, who say that there's no lav for eating Tarovis, Kol lo darshilu. He doesn't learn the drasha kol, because again, the source of Rabbi Eliezer is from the word kol. So we see from here the Chachamim do not make a drasha from the word kol. Ela nashim minalu. So how do the Chachamim know nashim when it comes to kares? How are they able to include nashim once they reject the drasha of kol? They don't learn kols all over. How are they going to learn that nashim are included in the chiyuv kares of chametz? So minalu kol lo darshu. They don't learn the drasha. Mar says kol lo darshu. Ki kol darshu. You're right. The word kol alone, they don't make a drasha. But ki kol, they do make a drasha. So the pasuk of Mars follows. When it came to the pasuk of kol machmetet stam, that just said kol, that's not a drasha. When it came to the context of karis, it says ki kol ocha machmetet v'nichrasa. The double, not double lashon, but the lashon ki kol are the words that the Chacham would agree you can make a drasha. And that's why they include nashim, but they do not include tarovis, because tarovis, it only says kol, it doesn't say ki kol. Says the Gemara, "V'chi tema ki chol Rabbi Elazar lo darshu." If you're going to tell me, however, so I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Rabbi Eliezer, "Ema kol Rabbos is anashim ki chol Rabbos is eruvo." So now let's say as follows. Let's look at the pasuk of ki chol machmetes v'nichrasa. So let's say Rabbi Elazar says the word kol comes to include women for karis, and now maybe they should say ki kol is going to come to include a second thing that should include now chametz. Ayde Tarovis is going to be chayv in karis as well. Because now that we see that ki kol is a drasha to the Rabbanim, ki kol should also be a drasha to Rabbi Eliezer. Now that should include two new things for karis. The pasuk talks about chametz dag and gamur, that's karis. Kol comes to include nashim are also chayv karis for eating chametz. And now ki kol should have come to include that Tarovis is going to be chayv in karis as well. And the Gemara says, v'chi tema, maybe you're going to say, ki chol Rabbi Eliezer lo darshu. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say, make a drasha ki chol. That's not good drasha for them. V'hatana, doesn't the Brisa tell us, se'or bal taktiru, that se'or you cannot offer as a carbon, like any of the types of grains, you can't make it as a carbon. Ein li ela kula, I only know if it's entirely going to be just simply se'or. How do I know, miktsos minan, how do I know if it's part of it? Is there only a chatizayis? I can't even offer that on the carbon. Says the Gemara, minayin tamalomer kol eruvo. Any type of mixture, as long as there's any amount of seor in the carbon, you can't be makrivit on the mizbeach. So I'm sorry, tamalomer kol. Kol means even partially. Eruvo minayin. How do I know even a tarovis is going to be problematic? Even a tarovis of seor cannot be offered as a carbon. Tamalomer ki kol. So we see here clearly that Rabbi Eliezer does make such a drasha of ki kol. So maybe he should make a drasha kichol in the context of chametz to tell me that eating chametz ayde terovis is going to be chiv karis as well. Says the Gemara, man shmashle de darshu kol, Rabbi Eliezer, the kadarshi kichol kasha. So who's the one who learns the drasha of kol? That's Rabbi Eliezer. This Bryce again, they said, how do I know miktsas was included in this baal taktir that you can't offer the swords of the karis? The pasuk says kol. Who makes a drasha of kol? That's Rabbi Eliezer. Then the Gemara goes on, that very same Brisa says, oh, and ki kol is also drasha. So why does Rabbi Eliezer not make the drasha of ki kol in the context of chametz to include tarovis for karis? Where ends in the kasha. Okay, we'll stop here. I know it's again early. We'll stop here. The next part is a completely different discussion. I don't know why these daftim are so short.